Morning. Where's your shit?
Morning, Rabbi Isai. After all that we've learned this week about the Mahadrin, the mitzvah, then the Mahadrin, and then the Mahadrin, Min HaMahadrin, we can now go to the Halacha and we'll understand exactly what we're learning. So we're in Siman Tov Resh Ayin Aleph Sif Beis. Says the Mechaber, Kama Neiros Madlik, how many Neiros should you light? V'lai Lo Roshem Madlik Echod, Mishon Ve'elech Moisef Ho'elech Echod B'cholai Lo. So the Mechaber is passing like the Mahadrin, Min HaMahadrin, that we are going to show. Yeah, we're not going to show the people on the street how many people live in the house, but we're going to show the people on the street which night of Chanukah it is. And therefore, on the first day, and he passes like this, Hillel, like we do, that on the first day we light one light, and on the last light, Achav Leil Achroin, Yu Shmoino. V'afilu im Rabim B'nei Habayis, Loi Yadliku Yoiser. He says, even if there are many, many people in the house, it's mashma from the Mechaber, that the Balabais is lighting one menorah. The Balabais is lighting one menorah, and that is really like we learned the Psap of Tosfos. Tosfos learns that the Balabais is lighting one menorah, and he says quite clearly, and you should not light more. Even if there are many people living in the house, you should not light more, which is Deloi Koharambam. The Rambam said that you would light one menorah for every person in the house. That would be the Madlik, the Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, more than the Mahadrin. But the Mechaber seems to be passing in like Tosfos, that the Balabais will light one menorah. So in each household, there will be only one menorah lit by the Balabais. That's the Psak of the Mechaber. And the Ramah Mitz Hashem, we will see on Sunday. Thoroughway, Northwest London, Rosh Chodesh Kislev, the 21st of November, Rabbi Toby Weiniger Schlitter. Pishanaim for Abachor. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by families Klein and Mendelssohn. Lechoit Simchas and Nesuin of Eli Klein with Lea Mendelssohn. The Chasna took place yesterday, B'shol Tov and Mitzlachas. And also Lina Nishmas, our founder, Rabbi Yosef Dov, Ben Shimon Michal Tzvi Yitzkevich, Zichron Levrocha.
Hopefully this works.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
It'll fall off.
Okay, we'll be
okay. A good chodesh, shalom aleichem everyone. It's always a big pleasure to be asked, and it's even more surprising that anyone comes, but it's wonderful to be here. So the shiur was titled Pi Shnayim for the Bechor, partly because it's a fascinating sugya, and partly because of this week's parsha deals very intimately with the sugya of Bechor. Well, I was speaking to Josh in the week, and he said that recently there's been quite a few shiurim on the topic of Bechor. I didn't want to overlap, but I also didn't want to change the shiur title too dramatically. So we're going to learn, Mietz Hashem, together, another sugya about Bechor, which is called the sugya of Yoke. The sugya of Yoke. Mietz Hashem, we'll try and this is a sugya, which this could be a 10-part series. But Mietz Hashem, we'll try and cover some of the most fundamental ideas and the main Gemara in Masechet Baba Basra. I'm gonna explain everything. We're gonna get there. We'll get there. Okay. So, the Gemara in Masechet Baba Basra, Kuf Kaf Zayin Amud Aleph, says as follows. So the residents of this place, Akuda Ogma, they sent a shaila to Shmuel. And they said, Yulamdenu Rabbeinu, teach us, Rebbe. Hayumuch Zokim Bozeshahu Bechor, if there was a chazoka, there was a presumption that a certain individual was a Bechor, was the eldest son to his father. V'omer oviv al ocha b'chohu. And the father came along and said, no. The world thinks, or there's a chazoka, there's a presumption, that Reuven is the b'chor. But actually that's not true. Shimon is the b'chor. Again, the world thinks that Reuven is the b'chor. There's a chazoka. There's a proper halachic presumption. There's a chazoka that Reuven is the b'chor. And the case is, the father comes along and says, Al Ocher, that Shimon, another one of his sons, he is the Bechoyer. Mahu. What's the halacha? What's the halacha?
Passport.
Sorry? Check the passport. Right. Okay, so there's no passport. But there's a chazoka.
Father should know.
Oh, so father should know. Before we even think further, one needs to understand basic laws of evidence in halacha. If I were to say the phrase law of evidence in halacha, in other words, how in halacha does one establish a presumption, or how in halacha is a matter proved? Everybody will say, with Eidim. And not just Eid Echad, one Eid, but Shnei Eidim Yochum Dover. The Torah says explicitly that one needs two Eidim to establish a matter. And in fact, the din of two Eidim is so strong, the Gemara says, Trei Kameo, that if you had two Eidim saying X and 100 Eidim saying Y, it's a stalemate. Because Trei Kameo, once one has two Eidim, that is considered proof in Halacha. And there are other dinim with regards to proving something as far as Halacha is concerned. One of the most well-known psulim le'edus, one of the most well-known ways an aid can be disqualified, because anybody who's made a chasna has had to work out who can be the kosher aidim under the chuppah. One of the most well-known ways in which an aid is disqualified is if they're a korov, if they are related to the person in question. So with that background, we can now proceed to understand the Gemara. We need to understand that in general in halacha, one requires two eidim. And furthermore, a korov, somebody who is a relative, is generally posul eidus, is of no relevance, no good. And there's more halachas as well. There's another halacha called noigeo bodova, which means that if somebody has a personal interest in a matter, their eidus is also of no interest with regards to proving a matter. So the Gemara asks Mahu, what's the din? Again, the father says, there's a chazoka, that Reuven is a bechor, and the father comes along and says, no, Shimon is a bechor. So Sholoch Lehu, so Shmuel answered as follows. He said, Koisvin ha'shar ze loze. They should write a deed of authorization. In other words, he didn't really want to give a proper psak. He said that Reuven and Shimon should get together with the father and they should write a deed of authorization giving over the b'choya. But it's not coming from the father's koya chaidus. It's not coming from the father's ability to determine a matter here. Rather, they're getting together in a room and they're writing a halshah. They're dealing with it themselves. Shmuel's answer wasn't anything to do with the father. Saying, really, the father in a chanami couldn't be, or he wasn't ruling whether the father could be relevant or couldn't be relevant here. Instead, the way this is going to be resolved is the two parties get together themselves. And the Gemara is very bothered by this. Because the Gemara says, why doesn't Shmuel give a psak? Why doesn't Shmuel give a more confident answer? Because Mimonoshach, the Gemara says, we have a machlokes tanaim. We have a debate between the tanaim, and we also have a machlokes amoraim on this as well. As follows, ikrabonin tzvulelishloch lukrabonin. If he wants to hold, and we're going to explain exactly what that machlokes is, and the Gemara says that Shmuel should have made a decision. If he wanted to paskin like the Rabbonin, he should have paskened like the Rabbonin. And ik Rabbi Yehuda sviy leilish lochlu k Rabbi Yehuda. And if he wanted to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, he should have paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So why did he say they should just write a deed of authorization without actually coming up with a solution? So the Gemara says, the reason he didn't come up with a psak is because misaf kolei ik Rabbi Yehuda ik Rabbonin. He didn't know how to paskin. So now we get to the exciting part. So what is this machlokes? So Maihi, Datanya. So we have a brisa. So the posuk says, this is how we opened, the word yokir. Now yokir means he shall recognize. That's what the word yokir means. That the father shall recognize. And the Gemara, the Midrashim, learn there's a halacha from this. What does yokir mean? It doesn't simply mean he shall recognize. It means the father has a special power. What's the power that the father has? Yokir, he shall recognize. Yakirenu lo'ocherim. The father has the ability to identify who the bechor is, lo'ocherim, to others. The father has a power to define who the bechor is towards the outside world. And again, this is an extraordinary halacha. Because usually when it comes to dinei edus, when it comes to laws of testimony, when it comes to establishing halachic status, we're dealing with two edim. And more than that, if a person is korov, a person is related, or a person is noigeya, a person has a vested interest, their testimony is thrown out. So Rabbi Yehuda's chiddush is an extraordinary one. That the father, that we learn from this word, we learn from the word of yokir, that the father's got a power of yokirenu la'ochirim to identify who his bechor is to other people. And if you thought it wasn't already crazy, the Gemara actually says another chiddush, which is even more radical. Mikon amar Rabbi Yehuda. Mikon. There's a big machlokes b'shoyden. Does mikon mean from this word yokir? Does it mean from this general sugya? That's a separate debate. Mikon amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, Ne'eman odam. A person, a father is believed, loima, zebni b'chor, this is my b'chor, which we've established. U'chashem sh'ne'eman odom, loima zebni b'chor, kach ne'eman adam, loima zeben grusha, v'zeben chalutza. A father also has a power, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to disqualify, or to define his son's halachic status, in order to disqualify him. There's a Gemara in Masech the Kiddushin, which says a father can even say that his own son is a mamzer, completely disqualify him, lovoi bekar, which is extraordinary. So Rabbi Yehuda has two chiddushim. Again, as we've said already a few times, but I'm just reflecting on the point myself because it's really an unbelievable chiddush, that despite the general laws of edus, b'chol ha-Torah kula, despite everything we know about edus, Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says two chiddushim. Number one, a father is able to define who is his bechor, even if there's a chazaka. It's extraordinary. The Gemara opened. The first words of the Gemara. Hayu mechzokim bazeshu hu bechor. There was a chazaka, there was a presumption that Reuven was the bechor. Yeah.
But only the father can know what other marriages he's had. Only the father knows what sons he's had, and nobody else in the world can.
Oh, absolutely. So when we come, Yisrael Shem, time permitting, we'll come to the logic of some of this, and that's how some of the Rishonim explain it. That actually the father is the biggest Baal Dover. He's the biggest, he's the one with the greatest knowledge on this. In interest, just as a tangent, in Hilchus Yerusha, when it comes to defining the Yoshim, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a chaya midwife can define for the first day, has the power to define who the children are, or who the eldest is for the first day. And a mother has for the first 7 days. But the presumption in halacha is once a child's had a bris. In fact, there are authorities that hold that the father doesn't have the power for the first 7 days. It's only the mother for the first 7 days. And after the bris, then the father gets it. That's a whole separate...
Because they were present at the birth, whereas the midwife and the mother were.
Exactly, because if this... You see, that's a true moil speaking as well. if it's coming from a place that the father's got the greatest knowledge, then maybe there's a time where the father doesn't have the greatest knowledge, which is time closer to the birth. And halacha, after the bris, it's assumed that... Again, obviously now, if you ask fathers, do they have a greater greater knowledge on day 8 or the mother, then obviously it doesn't switch at day 8. Yes, and then...
It's not really ADOS we're looking for here, it's the best information.
Beautiful.
It's not an ADOS situation, it's an information situation.
Okay, excellent. And that's going to explain some of the machlokes and we're going to see very, very shortly. Excellent. Yeah. Maybe this isn't proper ADOS. Right? Maybe does this need to, and some of the questions, we're not going to see all of the questions, but some of the questions is, does this need to be in Beis Din? If it needs to be in Beis Din, then we're dealing with proper Eidus. If it can be out of Beis Din, then maybe it's not Eidus. And we have a din also of Eid Echod Nemon Be Isurin. That when it comes to Issur Heter, when it comes to whether something's kosher or treif, you don't need to bring up a two Eidim and a Beis Din and have a thing. You trust somebody. I can go to someone's house for Shabbos and I can trust Eid Echod Nemon Be Isurin. Yeah, so maybe we're not dealing with ADIS, but we'll see that. I was showing him the thing, we are dealing with proper ADIS.
Yeah, because the shadow we started with of not knowing who the Bechor was, if you had twin boys,
yeah,
and only the mother and midwife are there, who is going to testify?
Exactly. Okay. So that's Shittas Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that the father has both of these powers. Father to identify the Bechor, and also to give an opinion over the kashrus of the son, ben grusha, ben chalutza, or gemoyin kedushin, even a mamzer. V'chachomim oimrim, and the chachomim say, einoy nemon. No, meichetesi. You give the father such a koyach. Where do we know we give the father such a power? He's not believed. Jumps the Gemara and asks the obvious question on the chachomim. Rabbi Yehuda didn't make this up. He didn't get this from thin air. He learned this directly from a posuk, Yoke. So what are the Chachomim can sit there all very well and say, oh, this is proper Eidus and we need to aid him and the father can't have this power. But what are they going to do with the posuk? The posuk says explicitly Yoke. That's where Rabbi Yehuda got this from. So the Chachamim Oimim Einu Nem. So Omer Lei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok L'Rava Bish L'Mal Rav Yehuda Hanu Dichtiv Yoker. That's a Rav Yehuda has a posuk. He didn't make this up. Ela L'Rabbonin Yoker L'Moli. What are they going to do with the posuk? So the Gemara answers, but Tzorich Hekeira. Gemara answers that if there's no chazoka, if there's no presumption, in other words, there were two boys born in a cave to two different mothers, right? So there's no presumption. In that case, even the Chachomim, and that's a case in the Gemara, but I didn't make that up, that's a case in the Gemara. Even the Chachomim in that case, the Gemara says, say the father has the ability to identify his Bechor. Even the father, according to the Chachomim, has the ability. When is there a Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim? Machlokes is only in a case of a Chazoka, of there's a presumption. If there's a presumption, and we know that chazoka, presumption, has weight in halacha. It's a serious halachic factor. So if there's a presumption, if there's a chazoka, Rabbi Yehuda says a father does have the ability, and the chachomim say the father doesn't have the ability. So just summarize, and then we'll move on to some rishonim to try and understand this in a bit of a greater detail. We see a machlokes in Tanoim, and you can take my word for it, this is also Machlokes in Amoraim as well. Whether, when there is a chazoka, there's a presumption as to whether Reuven's a Bechor or Shimon's a Bechor, the father has the ability to go against that presumption. Rabbi Yehuda says the father's got that ability. And not only does Rabbi Yehuda say that the father's got an ability when it comes to Yerusha, the father's also got an ability more generally to determine the halachic status of his children. And the Chachomim say, yeah, the father does have that ability, but only when there's no presumption. But if one has a presumption, then the father does not have a ability to go against a chazoka. Now we're going to try and understand this in a bit more detail. Come here, Tisha. So, how strong is the father's ability to go against a chazoka, even according to Rabbi Yehuda? Can a father really say, okay, Yoke, Shimon is the eldest? To what extent is he able to do this? Sorry?
If he was there at the time.
Right. Right. So, but it seems from the Gemara that even if he's not there at the time, the father's got an ability to do this. So for his whole life, this goes on for the whole of the father's life. So now the question that the Rishonim ask,
How?
Because the father has got the greatest knowledge of his children.
He wasn't there.
This is this extraordinary chiddush the Torah is saying. It's a crazy chiddush. Okay. So now, what if there's Edom? What if there are Edom that say that Reuven's the Bechor, and the father says that Shimon's the Bechor? So what wins out now? Does the principle that the father can identify his eldest win out, even if there are Edom? Or do we say that, no. When we've got Edom, we have Edom. It's like any other area of halacha. We have Edom, and therefore the view of the Edom are going to win out. So I'm going to share now, it's a shem machlokes between the Rashbam and the Radvaz on this shaila. So the Rashbam here in the Gemara says as follows. Kuf kaf zayin amud olif. So hayu mechzokin, there's a presumption. The Rashbam says, lav be'edim shemi'idin shavaru shenoy lekoidim le'echov. De'im kein ein ha'av ne'eman. If there are edim, if there are witnesses that say that Reuven is the oldest, the father's viewpoint on the matter is no longer relevant. The only important thing would be the view of the Edom. What does Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim argue about? Bekoil ba'alma. If there's a koil, there's a voice, there's a rumor, there's a general societal knowledge that one of the children is older. But as soon, according to the Rashbam, as you have Edom, then the power the Torah gives the father falls away. What does this indicate? If we wanted to ask, again, this could be a 10-part series, but if we wanted to ask, to what extent is this din really part of the world of Edus? Or is it maybe part of the world of Ne'amonis, just general believability? This would assume that this has got nothing to do with the world of Edus. If, according to the Rashbam, the father's view cannot stand up to Edom, then it's not really we're saying that Edom are what is operative here. And the father has a ne'emonis, has a believability, but as soon as you have a genuine standard of Edus, then that goes away. If it were proper Edus, then you'd have a case. Basically, trey or trey, you'd have a contradiction between two Edom, and you'd have to resolve it like that. The Radvaz, and there's other Rishonim as well, who take the position that the father is believed even keneged Edom. Even if there are two Edom that come in and say, Reuven is the oldest, the father is still believed to define who his eldest is. And these are the words of the Radvaz. The ho'emes haboro. Again, that's strong language. Ho'emes haboro. It's a complicated topic to me, but the Ravaz says the ho'emes haboro, the clear and simple truth, she'en kon sofek. There isn't a doubt regarding this sugya. Ki ha'Torah nitna ha'amona la'av. The Torah gave a power of authority and credibility to the father. Loima, to say, she'zeh ha'bechor. That this is my eldest son. Shene Emar, as the Pasuk says, Ki et Habakkur ben Asnua Yakir. Yakirenu lo achirim. As we've said, Rabbi Yehuda's view, that a father has an ability to identify his eldest to other people, to the world. Va'afilu b'mokum edim. And even if there are edim, Teda, what's my proof? Because it's possible, this is a big, big topic, it's a 20-part series, but it's possible for a chazoka, a presumption, to withstand Edom. It's possible for a presumption to withstand Edom, and if the father is creating a presumption, even if there are Edom there, then that view will be taken into account. So just to summarize what we've said so far, and then we'll try Mitzvah Shem to do one more point. We've seen a machlekes tanoim, which is also machlekes amoraim, whether a father has the ability to define who his bechor is in the place of a chazaka. If there's a chazaka, Rabbi Yehuda says that he's believed, Chachomim say he's not believed. We saw also machlekes in tanoim, whether a father is able to posel his children, his sons. Can he invalidate their halachic lineage? Again, that was a machlokes tanoim. And we've seen now just a window into this. Are we dealing with edus? Are we dealing with witness, testimony? Or are we dealing with ne'emonis, the believability of the father? Can the testimony of the father withstand edim who are contradicting him? Can the testimony of the father withstand witnesses who come along and say something different?
When the Rav Bas said that the Edim are, sorry, the Chazokah is B'mokim Edim,
yeah,
then isn't the father like Trey or Trey sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stalemate.
Interesting. He says that it's not just Trey or Trey, but the father, this was the Loshen, Ki HaTorah Nitna Ha'amona La'av. So that the what the Torah gave to the father trumps even that stalemate. Okay, let's do one more machlokes on this topic. There is a din in the law of evidence in halacha in Hilchos Eidos that aid mipi aid is possible. In other words, I cannot go to Beis Din and say, "Oh, Josh told me X and Y." That is not kosher Eidos. Not nothing to do with Josh. Just that wouldn't be kosher Eidos. When I speak in Beis Din as an aid, that needs to be from my own knowledge. There's a machlokes between the Beis Shmuel and the Beis Meir, the main Noisa Kelim in Shulchan Aruch Chelek Evan Ha'ezer, whether the limitation of aid mipi aid applies to this din. The Beis Shmuel is of the opinion that if the mother or somebody else that had intimate knowledge about the children told the father, their opinion as to who was the Bechor, or who was a kosher lavoi bakal, somebody of proper halachic status, the father can then use that knowledge to plug it into his power that Torah gives him of ki et ben Bechor yokir, that he can identify who it's going to be. In other words, the father doesn't need to have this from his own knowledge. The father is able to use, I wouldn't say circumstantial evidence, because that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about another person's knowledge in order to inform his own power of testimony in such a case. And the Beis Meir goes crazy at this and says, Umabakach, what on earth are you talking about? Heichon matzinon shenitna Torah ne'emonis al yidei yokir, b'moshe b'atzmai eino yodeya u'mamin le'ishtai. The Torah only gives the power here to the father. The Torah doesn't give the power to the father through his wife, or through the father saying, "I don't know, but maybe I spoke to this one or I spoke to that one." That's not what is going on here. The father has to know himself. And if the father has clarity, then the father would be able to give a testimony. And there are achrenim who suggest that maybe this also fits into the question of, are we dealing here with edus, proper testimony that the father's giving, and in which case it would follow the regular halachas of edmi p'ed, that you cannot give a second-hand one, or is this proper edus, and therefore the person would have to know themselves? I'd like to conclude with a final comment just relating to the parasha as well, which is that the main logic given in the Rishonim for why the father has this power at all is just because he's likely to be the most knowledgeable about the situation. But I think, and I was reflecting preparing this shiur, that there's a metaphor here as well to understand many of the relationships we see in Sefer Bereishis. Again, I'm not suggesting that this is what's going on in Sefer Bereishis, because for 1,000 halakhic reasons, that's not what's going on. This is a law of evidence. This isn't an inheritance tax assignment ploy. This isn't what's going on. But as a metaphor, you see from the sugya that a father has a bilus. The father has a, or I'll say like this. Bechor from the sugya doesn't just mean who. We're not looking to prove who's the biological child. The solution in halacha isn't do a DNA test and see biologically who comes out to be the eldest child. That's not what we're saying. We're saying the father has a special power. The father has a ability to identify who his bechor is. And I think this is a very interesting metaphor for many of the relationships we see in Sefer Bereishis, where it is not the biologically eldest child that ends up becoming the bechor, really the one who is following the father's footsteps in terms of the values, but actually it's another child. And I think this sugya is an interesting, as I say, halachic metaphor to exploring some of those ideas as well. Ad kan.
Should Yaakov and Esau have aided for Esau to save
the child? Depends how you understand the whole thing as well.
You know, since the last speaker mentioned something about the relationships of father and son, I'll bring a sapona which says that Vahi Kizukain Yitzchok Vatechenu Aino, and he became, his eyes became dimmed, Vatechenu Aino of Mer Ois. And the sapona says that Yitzchok's blindness was a divine consequence of not being Mechanach Esav as he should have. Like Eliyahu Cohen had with his children, he wasn't Mechanach them properly. It's noticeable, noteworthy that neither Avraham Avinu or Yaakov Avinu suffered from this ailment. Although you ask, that Yaakov Avinu's eyes did become difficult in old age. But in the end, Pusik continues to say, Vaya Yisrael, he still managed to see those children. We'll speak about when we get long later in Parshas Vachi. But a friend of mine, Nehemiah Scheinfeld in Das Chen, mentions a very interesting Heoro, which I just developed on. But the basic thought is objective viewing and subjective viewing. This blindness that Yitzchok suffered was a midah keneged midah, the chore of giving in to a child. Giving in to a child against your better interest. Because many of us recognize that you have an adolescent, or even younger than that, and he comes home from school even at 10, 11, 12 years of age, and he wants a smartphone. Because everyone in class has got one. And nags, and peg it. Until eventually the father thinks to himself, you know what, just buy him the thing and finish. With that one purchase, you might sacrifice not only the Olam Habu, because it'll probably be on porn sites in 2 years, and maybe before, but also his Olam Hazeh, because now he's lost his ability to concentrate, his ability to focus, ability to do anything, because the phone will monopolize his life. So you have the immediate sight of what you need to see to now in order to alleviate the nagging. But the long sight, which we call the vision, that part of it is diminished. Meile, in the essence of the message of the Torah with regards to chinuch, which the Torah points out and Sepona highlights, that Yitzchok's blindness was a divine consequence of not being mechanach Esav, is understanding that sometimes one sacrifices vision to see what the outcome long term is with regards to the children, and giving in to the immediate And that's the middah that the Eibush gave all the einai. It's the says that his eyes became dimmed. You didn't want to see what was facing you when Esav was growing up to be a chayru, and you preferred to turn a blind eye because kitzayit befiv there was the Indian of shoychat. Now at this age, that shoychat catches up with you as ya'ava eine chachomim v'eine tzedekim. This is just an interpretation of a sifona, but there's the beginning of this of the parsha, which we can see the interaction between Esav and Yaakov over that famous meal of the Halitaini Num in Udoim Udoim Hazeh. There the Pusik says, Vayoychal, Vayayisht, Vayukom, Vayaylech, Vayives, which on the face of it is a lot of rhetoric. The Torah never misses one extra letter. Is every single letter is gedashen. Why does he tell you? He sat down to the meal and he ate. Of course he ate. If he was starving, hungry, as we understand from Chazal, Vayayisht, he drank, he was thirsty. Yeah, Vayukom, he got up. Well, then he's going to stay seated for the rest of the year. Vayaylach, and he went. Of course he went. He's not going to stay stationary. Vayives Esav es habchol. Yeah, that's the Rebbe in Chayde taught us every single one of these was expounded on. He ate without the bruche, Vayesh without the shakli, and then Vayukom, he got up without kissing the mezizah. Vayukom, he got up without the couple. But why does Rashi say an interesting observation? Rashi says, after Vayives Esav Sabchoiro Shtait and Rashi, Heyed Ulov Hakusiv. The Pusik testifies about Esav, Shebizu Avedusa Shemukoi, that he actually humiliated and put to shame the Avoider of the Rabbeinu Shleulam of the Bechoyra. And then the Balatirim, for good measure, adds there that the Vayives is something which you would pick up because the illusion of Vayives is brought again, none other than in Megillas Esther. Vayives ba'ainov reshloach yod b'mordechai kihihihidi. So therefore, Haman went and he gunned for the entire nation and he went out to the Hashmid, Laharo, Yela'abed, Eskola, Yehidin. So let's understand from the Balatir's perspective, Haman had a personal vendetta against Mordechai. This was a long going feud where he sold himself as an eved, and it was very embarrassing for him. But on the other hand, for Pfizer, Kir Starmer to have a fight with some Satmachusid in N16 and make a personal feud out of it is not really going to fare him well politically. Doesn't stand right. Haman, who was then the Prime Minister of 127 countries, to have a personal fight with Ayid, like Mordechai Tzadik, Rajavulke, and everything that goes with it, also won't work well in the Shushan times. So therefore it's an inappropriate fight with the Prime Minister. And really, this turned into a national event. Now it became something that it's not just that I've got a personal vendetta with Mordechai. No, the Jewish people are vermin. The Jewish people are cockroaches. They have to be eliminated. This becomes a national fight. And in the Third Reich, where it became an international philosophy, where Mein Kampf comes and explains that the Jewish problem has got to be resettled and solved, when they really meant just plain mass murder, but they just phrased it quite so elegantly. And they said that, you think to yourself, is this suitable for a nation which produced Mozart, Wagner, Beethoven, to create a hideous murder machine for 6 million victims? So therefore, you should know that when they spoke about these things, they spoke about resettlement, and they spoke about solving Jewish problems, they didn't mean what they said. You have to see and read between the lines what they really meant. Esav's barter with Yaakov could also be interpreted. Gentlemanly agreement. He sat down, a knife, a fork, a napkin, zusammengestellt, a gentleman. And then he left, ready to go to work. So the Torah says to him, Heyed ulav hakusiv, don't be misled. This was a humiliation of the Bechoyra. Vayoichal, and he ate because he ate on a bruch. Vayesh, he ate and drank on a shakir. Vayelach, he went out without a taka, without a couple, and he went out without kishing the mezizah. And Rashi goes out of his way to say, hey, du levakusa, the pusik testifies. This has testifies. What's his testimony over here? Don't be disillusioned by this batter. It was really Esau's repulsion of the responsibilities of Bechoyre, that this contributed essentially to the disdain and the humiliation which he did. And every one of those four acts, Vayoichal, Vayayish, Vayaylach, Vayivez, all of them comes to one thing which the Baal HaTirim spells out very clearly to you. Vayivez, Vayivez. In the same way that Haman was, Vayivez Ba'einav L'Shloach Liyot B'Mordechai Ahidi, on the face of it, it looked like it was something which was for the bettering of an international interest, but really deep down it was an inner hatred of the Jew. He hated Mordechai and he hated the Jewish people, and he should be able to testify and, so to speak, scrutinize between the lines what that really is. Remile, it says, Boz ben Boz, says the Heilige Baal HaTirim. The one who was Vayivez is also the same Vayivez as in the time of Haman. Remile, I should help you to so say, as we saw, the singing of the Son of Yeshua, the ice of the Minayim, and the hum of the Minayim, and yet Shem Zoycha Zan Tzaki Nishlai.
Rabbi Yisai, I need the if anybody would like to be Mishtatev in the collection, it would be much appreciated.
Now, because you're very good.